very excited to have my good friend Ben Newman join us in just a few minutes. We are going to be talking about my new book, Tackle What's Next. It comes out on sale October 11th. So 1 week from now, we will be releasing this book. And when we do, I would appreciate it if everyone goes out, orders it, and gets you a copy, leave a review wherever you get it. And to me, it means the world that my good buddy Ben
asked for this conversation. There's no one better than Ben to do so. So I'm fired up to get Ben on this call. Here he is, the man himself. What's going on, brother?
Hey, I'm just glad you wore the uniform for today. Black t-shirt. Hey.
No doubt. I said we got to be matching. I told Leslie that before I came downstairs.
Hey, I love it. All the great times we've had together, I would expect nothing less. This is awesome. I'm so excited for you and for your book. This is just, we've had so many conversations about it. Now being a week out, I couldn't be more excited to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, you're the man. And as I thought about who I wanted to interview me to do this, I was thinking about who emulates a lot of what Tackle What's Next is about, who has worked with individuals to help them tackle what's next in their own life. And for me, there was no one more appropriate than you, brother.
Well, I really, really appreciate that, because I know there are so many individuals that we have as friends in common that mean so much to you, that were part of just conversations and challenging you and asking you great questions to bring out, you know, the best in you. And so to be able to interview about this book is awesome. I've already picked up multiple copies so that I can, you know, pass them out and be able to help support you on the journey. And so I'm thrilled for you. I'd love, so that people can understand, even though Eric started this, I get to control the dialogue today. When did you decide, and how did you decide, what was the purpose for writing Tackle What's Next?
I'll say this. When I first started working with my executive coach after my career ended, and for those that are just tuning in, you can hear the full story on many appearances that I've done. But essentially in 2017, I signed a contract extension with the Buffalo Bills, was going to continue to play with them. I was in my ninth season in the NFL. I played every single snap that season. And while I was going to the exit physical after the season, we make the playoffs. We end the longest playoff drought in all of professional sports. And everyone's making a big deal about the Mariners doing it right now. And I got to talk to some of those Mariners guys, because I want to talk to the longest tenured Mariners guys that really know what it feels like to play in that long of a playoff drought, especially in a sports market like Seattle that is passionate, just like Buffalo. Anyways, I digress a bit there. But I find out after my exit physical, as I'm trying to get cleared for the Pro Bowl, I found out in the delivery room for my son, who's going to be born 50 minutes later, that my career is over. So that set me on a journey for me to find out what was next in my life. I assumed those next few years were going to be filled with football and making a run at AFC championships and the Super Bowl like the Bills are doing now. But God had different plans for me. And as I was working with my executive coaches, I was talking to people on my podcast, it kept coming up, you should write a book. And I kept saying, who am I to write a book? Like, I just got into reading maybe 10 or so years ago, which has made a tremendous impact in my life. And I'm a huge fan of books. I got them plastered all over the house. And I've tried to fill my mind daily with impactful reading. But who am I to write a book? There's so many NFL greats that should write a book that have transitioned more successfully than me. But at some point, I got over that imposter syndrome and decided that I would put these lessons that I've been so blessed to have, whether it's through my life, through my career in football, or especially the numerous guests and mentors that I've had on the podcast and have spoken wisdom into me, I felt it'd be selfish for me to just keep those inside.
Well, that's what I really love about what you've done is, you know, there's so many athletes, and I've been blessed to have the opportunity to work with players in the league since 2013. And it's one of the hardest things that players do is manage that transition of when there aren't 50, 60, 70, 80,000 people watching you, what do I do next? And do I have that courage and belief and the consistency that you've shown in your podcast to looking the way that you do now from the way that you did when you played? I mean, you've carried the discipline and the lessons, and that's what I think is so unique for everybody that has an opportunity to pick up your book. And it is available for pre-sale on Amazon right now, so you don't have to wait until next week. You can get it now, which is what I already did, so mine should be hitting the doorstep next week. But I think the unique thing is that you're an example of what you talk about in the book. And that's what I love about you. It's the continued discipline, because a lot of people, they're fearful. Now, for those of you watching who are saying, gosh, well, I wasn't a professional athlete. I'm not an athlete. Yeah, but you might be looking at your life saying, what's next for me? Because of fears, doubts, uncertainties, and pain. And I love how the book addresses that. Kind of a different question, though. What did you learn from writing a book?
Man, I've learned a lot. And from talking to others, this is pretty common that when you write a book, especially when it's your first, and you've written multiple books, so you could probably attest to this, the book never feels finished. It never feels complete. It never feels perfect. You always want to go back and, hey, I've just learned this. I want to add this in. And so as the editing process happened and as it hit the pages, this has been a year and a half process. There's a lot I've learned in the last maybe 6 or 8 months that I would love to put in. Maybe that's another book down the road. But for me, you know, just dealing with, you know, maybe some anxiety about it coming out. Is this book good enough? And from talking with guys, it's pretty common that, yes, you know, you're always going to feel that way. So I learned that. I learned a lot about the writing process. This took me about a year and a half to complete. I think I could probably complete one in about 6 months now, just knowing what I know now. But that's okay. This book took exactly how long it was supposed to. It'll hit the shelves exactly when it was supposed to. And then really, I've often heard it said like this: you don't realize what people really feel about you until your funeral often, and then you're not there to hear it from them. When people write endorsements, a foreword, when they pre-order your book, when they show you so much support, it's unbelievable how much love and affection I've felt throughout this entire process. And it's almost gone from, who am I to write this book, this imposter syndrome that so many of us live with, to, wow, I am surrounded by so much support and so much love in my life that I'm approaching this release with a spirit of gratitude.
Well, one thing I think you should be grateful for, and I don't know if anybody has shared this perspective with you, and I think it's important for the readers to know the quality of what you've written. And I hadn't even shared this, you know, with you, but I think it's important. You know, my first book came out in 2008, and your first book is going to be published by John Wiley & Sons. My first two books were self-published. I was trying to find my way, like, how do I do this? And I was blessed to have a mentor that you and I both still have in common in John Gordon, but I didn't have the notoriety. I didn't have the opportunity. And these big publishers, I ended up years later having a book published by John Wiley & Sons, but that was years later. But I think this really speaks to the quality of the content and the book and what you've done. This wasn't like, hey, because I'm doing speaking now and because I'm doing coaching work now and Louisville's brought me back as a performance coach and I'm doing all the radio work these days, I just want to throw something out there. Like, you have written a book where you got a book deal from one of the top five publishers in the world for your first book. Like, for everybody watching, like, that does not happen. And so I'm proud of you as a friend that, you know, you put your best foot forward. A lot of people, they just, let me write a book as fast as possible. And I believe that everybody has a book in them, but I think it's so unique that you were able to provide a book that's going to make such a difference. So another question I have, who is this book for, right? So you've written this quality product, it's getting the notoriety, top five publisher, but who's the book really written for?
Dano's and Pabst Jerky is bringing you a spicy collaboration to deliver a Southwestern punch of flavor with Dano's Chipotle Jerky. This is an all-natural, no-sugar, high-protein, and low-fat snack perfect for an active lifestyle by giving you the fuel to get through your next big adventure. Available now at PabstJerky.com.
It is for anybody that wants to make their tomorrow better than their today. It'd be easy to look at this book and say, hey, I'm a sports fan, I'll check out Eric's story, or I'm not a former professional athlete, but I'd like to hear what he said. This book is not just for former professional athletes. It's not for business CEOs. It's not just for big time pastors or country music singers that transition into a next chapter. It's not just for them. It's for anybody out there, and I feel like so many more are in a period of transition now post-COVID, but anyone that wants to transition and make their next chapter in life their best yet. It pains me when guys transition out of the league and say, man, my best days are behind me. I played in the NFL. I'll never have that again. I'll never have that fulfillment again. It pains me when I hear people say, man, high school were the best days of my life. No way. Each year should be getting better and better because you're learning more each and every year. You're learning more about yourself, what fulfills you, how you can make an impact. And so this book will teach you tools in how to do that, how to identify your gifts, create a vision, and then ultimately go make impact on others and bring value to others. And I've heard it said like this: if you bring value to others, you will feel fulfillment. If you bring value to valuable people, you will feel wealthy. You will be wealthy. Mm. And that may come in monetary form. It may become just ultimate wealth, where it's just true fulfillment in your life. And then I want to make one point about Wiley publishing this book. And we talk all, or I talk in this book a lot about surrounding yourself with the right people. And it can often be uncomfortable to make that happen initially, but you do that by providing value to others, whether it's lifting them up on social media, whether it's attending a boot camp of Ben's, whether it's John Gordon coming to speak to the Bills about 8 years ago. And I went up and introduced myself afterwards, and I vouched for him in front of the team beforehand saying, hey, everybody listen to this dude. He may not be a former pro athlete. He may not be a former coach, but you know what? He's going to teach us something today. And then ultimately, it's guys like yourself. It's guys like John Gordon. It's guys like Ed Mylett. It's guys like David Nurse, who I've been able to connect with in this transition and surround myself with. And that's how I get with a Wiley. Wiley didn't come to me and say, Eric, we're dying for you to write a book for us. They would have went to my buddy Terrell Owens. They would have went to Ryan Fitzpatrick. They would have went to Carson Paul, a number of guys that I know that have had, you know, for all instances, for all case purposes, better careers than me. But they came to me and we did this deal together because of the people I'm surrounded by and that I surround myself with. And so I want to honor you in that way. And for all those listening in, and that have hopes and dreams that are bigger than what they are right now, surrounding yourself with the right people is a very powerful tool.
Yeah, and it's what makes us who we are. You know, they say that the books that you read and the people you surround yourself with will define really who you become as an individual. And so it's been a blessing for me to build the relationship that we have. I do have to drop this in here. I absolutely have to do this. When we met for the first time in person and you did come to St. Louis, you brought a canister of punched energy. And man, like, you and I enjoyed punched energy. In fact, I got it right here. And so now you and I, right, got to keep it in a convenient spot. You and I now have the opportunity to really support another great company doing big things. And I just want to say, when you go and buy, because I want to make sure that everybody knows, when you go pick up your pre-ordered copy of Tackle What's Next, you have to make sure that you grab some punched energy too, because then you got to have the energy in order to take in this book, because I will not allow anybody to pick up this book and not be ready to take action. And that's one of the things that I love about it, is that I mentioned it earlier, you've taken action after your career, right? There's fears, there's doubts, what will I do? Same thing. But like, you have taken the action, and that's why I love the book, because it's going to cause people to be empowered to take action themselves. Now, somebody who I know supported you in the action that you took on the field is Sean McDermott. And, you know, Sean is an individual that you had the opportunity to spend time with, and you still do through the work that you do with the Bills. But I know that he's a tremendous leader that's meant a lot to you, and you think so highly of him. What was it like when he accepted the invitation to write the foreword for your book?
It honestly meant a lot to me. He's not a person that you're going to see writing forwards for any other books at this point. Maybe he'll be reached out to in the future based upon how well he did with this one. But it meant the world to me. For multiple reasons. I only got to play for Sean for 1 year. Now, we've formed a relationship that goes beyond football since, but for him to, one, write the words he did, and two, to take the time out of a very busy schedule of being an NFL coach. We're all busy, but I would like you to find coaches of major programs and organizations. Find someone with a busier schedule than them. For him to take the time to do that for a guy who only played for him for 1 year meant the absolute world to me. And I have the utmost respect for Sean, and for a guy that is dedicated to the process every single day. You want to talk, Ben talks often about standard over feelings. The Bills play the Rams in the opening game of the season. He flies back. The Bills now have 10 days before their Monday night game, and he goes straight into the office from the plane because Sean is an early workout guy. To get in his workout, to watch the film, and then approach the media that day, that's what he needed to do. And so I got to see him be a standard over feelings type of guy. And so for him to do the forward means the world to me. And honestly, those individuals, including yourself that wrote the endorsements, blew me away. I go back to the funeral analogy I made earlier, where you don't hear what people truly feel about you until oftentimes it's after you pass, or maybe it's a big retirement, maybe it was my career ending. And I got to feel a lot of that same love then. But for people to take the time out to make videos to promote it like you did and a number of others means the absolute world to me. And I'm humbled, honestly, to even be accompanied by those individuals in my life. Because I'll say this, when I wasn't even a starter on my high school football team as a junior, it would have been hard for me to imagine what this life has become. But by the grace of God and his plan for me in work ethic and discipline and taking advantage of opportunities, the people I've been surrounded with and everything we talk in this book, I was able to get to this place.
So let me share something, because one of the things I love about you, and I think everybody notices when they hear you speak or listen to podcasts, you are so humble, you're so faithful, you're always, you know, giving to others and thanking them. But I want to thank you on behalf of Ed Milet and John Gordon and David Nurse and all of us who you welcome us into your life to share the mistakes we made on our journey of writing books and things of that nature, so that you don't make those same mistakes. But, you know, you are so humble, you know, you forget to mention to individuals sometimes, you were a first round draft pick. You know, you were a Pro Bowler. You were a captain. You did play and had an incredible career with the Buffalo Bills. I mean, and you played almost 10 seasons, right? I mean, this is longer than most people ever even dream of in the league. And I know it was cut short, but it's not what you did on the field that I love about you. It's what you've done off the field and what you will do off the field. And I think there's a lot of people that write books that they're not an example of what they write, right? It's a great idea. I'm gonna write this book and it's gonna be fire. I'm gonna put this book out. People are gonna buy it and love it. But you are actually a testament for all those athletes. And I've been blessed to work with Caleb Thornhill and the pro athlete community and his work to help athletes transition after the game. And it's individuals like you who are a great example that you can transition after the game. You can do big things. You can make great decisions. You can have the belief, the confidence, and build a team to do huge things. So I just want to thank you, because our relationship makes me better. This is an iron sharpens iron relationship. And I don't think you give yourself enough credit for the example that you set, not only for former athletes, but for everybody, because everybody's going to face a different challenge and adversity. But to really figure out, okay, how am I going to tackle what's next? And then to do it, that's what I think is so exciting about the book, is the fact that you are an example of what it looks like to tackle what's next and to do it in a big way.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. I appreciate all those words. And my natural tendency would be now to deflect it back on you. I heard it recently from a friend, though, that oftentimes when we give compliments to others, if that person then deflects it back to you, then they aren't honored with their word. So I just want to say thank you for that. That means the world to me. It means the world to me coming from someone like yourself. And you talk about humility. It's talked about often in the book. The perfect combination of a leader. And look, we're all leaders. Whether you're a leader of an NFL football team, whether you lead your household, whether you just personally lead yourself, it's humility and confidence. I try and be as humble as possible. I think that makes me relatable. I hope that it makes me relatable, where someone can walk up to me in an airport like they did last night and just start a conversation, ask for a picture, whatever it may be. Tell me how long they've had Bills season tickets, which is people's favorite thing to tell you when they're from Buffalo. But that being said, you create confidence in your own life by stacking wins each and every day, by keeping the promises that you've made to yourself. And I try and do that often, but I have not made a promise to myself to not ever have fun in life, to not let loose in life. This life is meant to be fun, and this book has been fun to write. And so I appreciate your words there.
Well, I want to say something that's awesome is how you've challenged me in some ways. You know, you came to boot camp and, you know, we were first getting to know each other and you're like, you got to have some fun too, Ben. Like, I see you do 75 hard. I see you're challenging yourself. But like, bro, let me know you're eating some cake sometimes. Let me know that you're getting in on those chocolate chip cookies. Let me know that you're having a glass of wine with your beautiful bride. And I respect that from you, that it, that it was, hey, I care enough about my relationship with Ben. I got to make sure that he's keeping it real and he's got balance and he's having fun and doing those things. And now we have been able to take some trips and go to some Bills Pats games together and do some things. You know, I like to have a good time. But I just, that's what I respect, is that it's a two-way street in the relationship. And right.
One quick thing on that. If you don't ever celebrate your wins in life, then you won't love the process as much as you should. So you have this daily process, and you need to celebrate those wins in your life. And you can celebrate them by writing them down at the end of every day. Our friend Jason Selk talks about the power of that and the importance of that. That's in the book.
Absolutely.
But celebrating your wins can prevent you from burnout. And it also gives you that dopamine hit to say, man, I want to get back on the wagon. I want to be disciplined again. I know that there's people in my life, and there's plenty of people that I don't go tell to have a drink, Ben. There's plenty of people I don't say, hey, go eat some cake or go enjoy some time with your family and get away. There's plenty of people I don't ever have that I would never say that to. You're one of those disciplined individuals that you almost have to pull the reins on. And I always say, we own racehorses. I want a horse that we have to pull back and that wants to go, and not one that we have to whip to the finish line. You ain't one of those ones that we got to whip to the finish line.
Hey, I appreciate that compliment coming from you, brother. Now, last question, I think this is a fun question to ask an author. So now, author to author, because this always happens with me and hard-charging guys, the way that we're wired. You write a book, and now this is for you. I want you to make sure, this is your advice back to you, that you slow down and you enjoy the release of this book, and that you enjoy the celebration of this book, and you enjoy the impact this is going to have on others. So one last question around this topic, because I know we got to allow people to get to Amazon to grab a copy of Tackle What's Next, because you can get it pre-ordered now before it releases next week. And then please, once the book impacts you, share the book. Don't do it for Eric, do it for me. So from an author who's been impacted by his words, impacted by how he shows up in life, pay it forward, because of individuals like myself who I know his words have an impact on. So final question, in the process of writing a book, because I know you'll slow down and enjoy it, but did you think about the next one? Because like that for me, the hard charging, sometimes it's like you get so excited to release it, but then like we're already on to the next. So I want you to slow down, but I am curious, are you going to write another one?
I would imagine at some point. I will not be in a rush to do it. I've realized that a release during my busy time, one, I'm always better busy than bored. I'll start off with that. But I've created some chaos in my life with a book release during the NFL season, with the podcast and everything else I got going. I am going to take a break, but it's funny. As you go to write a book and you script out these chapters and then you fill the chapters and you got people tackling what's next in their life, there's so many things that come up. There's so many things that you learn that you're like, ooh, I wish I could add that. Okay, there's not room for it here. We don't need to add more to this one. There will be one down the road. It's amazing when I talk to people like you and we just get to talking, or I talk to David Nurse or John Gordon, whoever it may be, like, man, we should collaborate on one like that. We should collaborate one. So I think I'd be lying if I said there won't be another one, just probably not in the next 6 months. Like I said, I could maybe flip one in 6 months now. I might wait a little while and then flip one quick.
Well, let's give everybody a chance to read Tackle What's Next. Let this one marinate. I'll be ready to support and be there to read and learn from anything that you put out in the future. And I just want to say thank you again for how you show up. Thank you for the example that you are for all of us, to not just write a book. Oh, it'd be great, like, to write a book on Tackle What's Next. Hey, it's a catchy title. But to actually live in such a way that when people finish reading the book, they'll know what I know about you, which is this is somebody who lives it, which means I can take those lessons and apply them in my life.
My man, I appreciate it. I thank you so much for your time. For those out there that have joined in, for those that are listening on the podcast now, thank you for spending your time. And I hope you just appreciate what Ben did for me as a friend, for his spirit of wanting to constantly make an impact in his life. Ben could be doing a speaking gig for tens of thousands, $100,000 right now. He's blessing us with his time, blessing me through this interview here to promote the book. So thank you very much, brother.
Always in your corner, brother. I appreciate you. Much love and huge, huge success for Tackle What's Next. Can't wait for it to come out.
My man, I appreciate you.
Thanks, brother.